everybody. Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. I'm your host, Lindsay. Thank you so much for being here today. If you are new to the show, welcome. And if you're returning, welcome back. You're listening to episode 51, and I'm talking with Carrie Tollefson. Carrie is an Olympian. She ran in the 2004 Summer Olympics. She ran collegiately for Villanova. And currently, she, for the past 6 years, she's been doing the See Tolly Run Show. She's the mama of three, and she recently launched a new podcast called See Tolly Run. You also probably have seen Carrie on the sidelines reporting for track and field, cross country championships, and marathons across the country. I highly encourage you guys to head over and check out Carrie's new podcast, See Tolly Run. She is a natural host, and I think you'll really love the show. Before we get started talking with Carrie, I want to thank our sponsor for this episode, Prep Dish. Prep Dish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. Chef Allison, who is also a dietitian, puts together a detailed grocery list for you in categories. She has paleo and gluten-free options. She gives you delicious, healthy recipes. You prepare them on Sunday, and you have meals ready for your family for the entire week. And it's not just breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's snacks and desserts, too. You guys can go to prepdish.com/another. Use promo code another, all caps. Get a free 2-week trial. It's absolutely free for that 2-week trial, so you might as well try it out. And when you guys try out Prep Dish and support Prep Dish, you're actually supporting this podcast as well since they're a sponsor. So I thank you for that. All right, guys, and here's the time in the intro where I ask you to leave me a rating and review on iTunes. I would so appreciate it if you would. It's the best way for potential new listeners to find the show. And of course, we want to grow this community. Thank you so much to Tatiana from Cleveland, who says, I love Lindsay's style. She's so funny and laid back. She talks about running, family, healthy eating, etc., and she shares my secret love for The Bachelor, my go-to for long runs. All right, you guys, I've been thinking about this, and you know I always talk about how my sister is like my go-to person for podcast stuff, and she suggested I do a giveaway for new iTunes ratings and reviews. So, for any new ratings and reviews in these next 2 weeks, you will be entered to win a $25 Starbucks gift card. I'll announce the winner in 2 weeks. So not episode 52, but episode 53, I'll announce the winner of the gift card from the new ratings and reviews. Make sure you don't have some embarrassing iTunes names because I'm going to call you out on the podcast. All right, so enter to win $25 Starbucks gift card to anyone who leaves a new rating and review in the next 2 weeks. I feel like I'm being redundant always bringing that up in most of my episodes, but I know I listen to other podcasts and it took me 5 or 6 times of hearing the host remind me before I remembered to go over and do it. So that's why I'm reminding you. One more thing before I start my conversation with Carrie. I am recording my second bonus episode this weekend. Super excited about this conversation I'm going to have, and that episode will drop next week sometime. So for Patreon pledgers, you guys go to patreon.com/LindsayHine. You get access to monthly bonus episodes. Last month was Allie Feller, and this month is another good friend and someone who is a returning guest from the show. Patreon.com/LindsayHine to check it out. All right, guys, here's my conversation with Carrie. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good.
So I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm excited for you and your new podcast and everything you're doing.
Oh, thanks. It's been really fun.
Yes. Can you give everybody like a little intro of who's Carrie?
Yeah. So, I am Carrie Tollefson, obviously, and I am a mom of three now. So crazy, busy mom, not really thinking so much about being a competitive athlete anymore because I'm trying to compete with these kids and their schedules and everything. But I do a little bit of everything, but still a lot in the running world, which is really fun. I've been trying to milk that as long as I can.
Yeah.
So I do some TV work and webcast stuff. And my weekly show, which I do every week, I travel a lot, but it's not real consistent like my weekly show. We've done video for almost 6 years, I guess. And whether it's a training video, a nutritional video, and a race highlight video, we've just done a bunch of different videos. But now we're kind of thinking, well, let's try the podcast stuff just to, you know, be like Lindsay Hine and, just try it out and see. We're doing something different though. And I hope we can do a little bit more of it, but we're doing it on the run sort of. So a lot of my interviews will be with people while we're actually running because nobody does that. And it's just such a fun conversation.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Okay, so I listened to your interview with Ryan Hall and with Gwen Jorgensen, which I would love to have Gwen on my podcast someday. And I did have Sarah Hall on my show. She was, like, one of my early interviews. I think she was episode 11.
Okay.
Yeah, but I noticed that your most recent one with the news anchor was on the run.
Yeah, Kelsey. Yeah. So she's a great runner. I mean, she's like a three I should know this off the top of my head, but I think she's like 3:05 for the marathon and just started in the sport not too long ago. And now she's done Boston and she just went to Berlin and ran. And so she just loves the sport, but she's a mother of three and, you know, on call basically all the time. So it's fun to actually like hear from her how she does it and why she does it. I mean, why somebody that does the 9 and 10 p.m. news doesn't get home until 11:30, 12 and then is up again at 5 a.m. to do a run. How come? Like, why did she pick this sport and how does she keep doing it? So that's been really exciting. But when you're on the run, it's almost like you get a whole different aspect of the person. And you know this just with training partners or whatever, but you know, you open up a lot more and you kind of dream together and you have a different conversation. People are a lot less shy on a run, I think, than they would be if there were a camera that were taping them or, you know, or somebody you're like you and I looking at each other. It's just different when you're
out. A little more natural, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we're dealing with elements, you know. There's Gabe Grunewald is coming up this week and her mic is hitting her chest because of the wind. So we're dealing with that. But at the same time, you know, that's just part of it. So
how do you
hopefully people like it. Well, we can fix it a little bit with editing, but you're going to hear it. And, you know, if people like it, they'll like it. And if not, then, you know, they'll maybe fast forward a part of it. But it's really raw. I mean, Gabe gets really raw and talks a lot about, you know, life and death, basically, and what our life is going to be like now, constantly thinking about having cancer. And it's just, you know, I'm very fortunate I have a good relationship with Gabe, but this was her first real open interview. So it was kind of fun to do that with her and to hear that she's kicking butt.
That's
again,
awesome.
So yeah,
does she live in Minnesota?
She does.
Okay, because that's your other thing is you have to do everything in person then.
Yes, but you know I travel so much that as soon as I get the hang of the mics and things, I think I'm gonna just throw it in the bag and hopefully, if I'm in New York, I can you know get some celebrities or some athletes or just a regular Joe Schmo that has a really good story and wants to go for a run with me. I'm gonna try and do it that way. So.
That is a really good idea. If you're ever in Indianapolis, I would be happy to go for a run with you.
Yes, I will.
I would love that. So, Carrie, you ran in the 2004 Olympics. Mm-hmm. You ran the 1500.
I did.
So, when you run now, do you run more distance?
Yes, I do. I'm kind of a little bit terrified of going back to the track. Is that crazy or what?
I don't think so.
I really want to because you get so fit doing those hard intervals. But yeah, I was more of a middle distance runner when I was competing. The 5K was more my premier event, I'd say. I ran 1504 in the 5K and felt like I was a little bit better suited for that. And the 1500 was something that I just loved to do. So it was just really fun for me to get out and race that one. I was decent at it, but it clearly was not my best event.
How'd you make the decision to so then in the trials that year, did you run the 15 and the 5?
I did, and I finished 6th in the 5K with 2.5 laps to go. I just had a mental lapse, and I, you know, three people went by me, and I wasn't going to Athens in the 5K.
But so when you were there, were you thinking, like, of both of these events, the 5K is the event I'm going in if I go?
Yes.
And then
most definitely.
So were you totally caught off guard with the 1500 going?
Yeah. I mean, I had to kind of talk myself into actually towing the line and giving another, you know, round. I mean, I knew I was decent at the 1500. I had run pretty well, 408 or something like that. But I know, I just knew in me, like, I have that drive and that competitive to get back out there, and especially after disappointment. I can remember one year finishing 2nd indoors at the NCAAs in the 5K, and I really should have, you know, won that race, or it was very disappointing to not win. And then I came back the next day and won the 3K, and I think that, you know, just little signs of that where when I get beat down, you better watch it kind of the next time. That's something that I've always kind of liked to tackle, that challenge of, you know, being pretty disappointed and coming back again.
Yeah, that's awesome. What do you have advice for people that go through that? Like if someone is running in the trials and they're like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, like, what was it? Was it Brenda Martinez and she was running the 8
yes.
and then she ended up going in the 15?
Yes, it's so true. I mean, I just think that that's in all of us, no matter if you're an elite athlete or not. I mean, you just get that fire when things don't go your way and you got to use it. You can't just let that fire go away. I mean, whether it's at work or in school or, you know, whatever it is, when you have something that's just burning in your gut to do better, you need to just capitalize on it and go for it. And that's kind of what I used for fuel when I was competing. I was injured a lot. I was unfortunate to have overuse injuries a lot. And I think that staring at myself in the mirror in the gym was a way for me to sort of channel that energy. And not necessarily was it negative energy, but just that energy to get fired up and to get pumped up about doing better the next time I have an opportunity. And so, yeah, I mean, I do a lot of speaking and I try to tell that to whoever it is that I'm speaking to, that we are so tough mentally. And sometimes I don't think we really use that. Mm-hmm. We have to use it when we are asked to, and don't just let that kind of float away.
Yeah, I was, I actually interviewed, so I did a three-way interview with Colleen Quigley, Shelby Houlihan, and Courtney Freyricks. And Shelby was like, I asked the girls, I was like, do you guys get nervous for hard workouts and stuff? And Shelby's like, no, I get excited. And then they were talking about actual racing, and she's like, I really only get nervous for maybe like the first meet of the season. And then I'm like, I'm just excited. I'm like, I bet she's like a tough person to run against, because knowing that you're toeing the line with someone who's not scared or not nervous,
right?
You know?
Yeah. And she seems like that. I mean, just watching her race, she is pretty fearless when she races. And to be able to run so well at the 800 meters all the way up to the 5K, like usually there's some intimidation of, you know, either the speed or the length of a race. And I don't think she has that. And I don't know her at all. She's one of, you know, I feel like I know a lot of the athletes just from doing the TV, and she's one that I haven't had a lot of interaction with, and it's so much fun to watch her race. So,
well, those they're so young. They're babies.
I know.
They're
so
young.
But so talented. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, she flat out said, I'm putting this interview out this Friday, but she was like, I'll do whatever it takes to medal. Like, if I need to run the marathon, I'll run the marathon. Like, she was just like, I'm out there. I'm doing it. And I was like, man, what an awesome way to live your life.
I love that.
You know, fearless. Okay, so you ran in the Olympics in 2004. And then what year did you have your first baby?
I had my first baby in 2010.
Okay, so what were you doing in between there? Like, and what were your goals there?
Yeah, you know, I had a really good year in 2006. But then I had a major injury right before the Olympics. And I came back in 2007 and finally had the surgery. I slipped over a snowdrift and did the splits. And I tore the abs off my pubic bone, actually. And I tore both adductors off the bone.
Wow.
So I was running pretty injured for a lot of years. And finally, it got to a point where I was having a hard time lifting my left leg up over curbs. And when I was running out on the road. So I had the surgery in 07, came back in 08, wasn't quite myself, had pneumonia right before the trials, which was great timing. But I wouldn't have made the team. I just wasn't myself. But then in 09, I started running like 15:20s again. And I think it was 15:20s, 15:30s. And so I was getting down there. And then I had two stress fractures at the time of U.S. Outdoor Nationals in my left foot. I mean, it was just kind of bad timing. So we went home after having to drop out of my very first race at U.S. Nationals, and I came home and I said to Charlie, let's just try having a baby, and a month later we found out we were.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then I did try to come back after Ruby, but it just wasn't in me. I wanted to just run minimally, like just trying to run 40, 50 miles a week, and you can't be at that level that I needed to be at running that low of mileage and the way I was running. Maybe you could do it off of that little mileage, but I just wasn't doing it properly.
Did you have like mental, I don't want to say depression, but just like, did you have like any kind of mental hurdles that you had to battle when you came to the realization that like, okay, I'm hanging up like professionally running right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a time where I was kind of bummed about it, but it was a really fun stage for me to go from being sort of at the top of my game and getting close to getting back to it in 09 to then deciding on having a baby and moving into that transition. And I think once I had Ruby and I knew I didn't want to be leaving her and leaving my husband, and I just, it was in my heart not to be that athlete anymore. So, you know, even now I still think, oh, I could be a master's and I could get out there and do well. I just don't think I'll ever get to a level that I was ever at, you know, when I was really, really good. But I was sad. And there's still times where I'm like, God, it's much more fun to go to races and people know that you're really fit rather than just the lady that has the microphone. But it's pretty cool to have the microphone as well. So I'm pretty happy.
So tell me about that a little bit. Did you start doing that pre-Ruby or a post-Ruby?
You know, I've been doing it since college.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I was doing voiceover work in college. I was interning. I had every, you know, expectation to be in broadcast. But when I was racing full time, I only did a few gigs a year. I did some like the NCAAs early on. I did some of the cross country coverage. I did the rock and roll marathons when they were televised. I didn't do a ton where it, you know, kind of got in the way of my training and racing. So all throughout my career, I was doing a little bit, but then once Ruby came, I really started to get more into it and having, I guess the guts to say yes to a broadcast gig rather than saying yes to a race. And so I think that's where my career started to change, when I would say, okay, I won't think about the race as running it. I'm going to think about doing it on camera instead. So that was kind of the change that I knew I was maybe done with the running.
Is that what you went to school for?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Cool. So with your weekly show, are you, you're still doing the weekly show, even though you've added the podcast?
Yes, and we're not going to be doing a ton of videos. We might here and there sprinkle them in, but you know, as you know, post-production, it's a lot for editing and all of that. So, and it costs money to do all that. So my cameraman and editor and the director of my show, they have now steered us a little bit towards the podcast just to see. And, you know, not to say we can't go back to videos or we can't sprinkle them in, but right now that's our focus.
So podcast is replacing weekly videos.
Videos. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. I do feel like podcasts are just going to blow up in 2017. I think
I think blondes that do them for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm excited about your podcast because I'm always looking for, you know, like a podcast I'm interested in listening to. And I like the conversation, which is like what I do. I like the conversation style shows. And you don't really, there aren't a ton out there running related right now. And not that that's my sole thing that I want to listen to, but I do think we're going to see a lot of like bloggers and people like that jumping in. So
I do too. I am, to be honest, I am not one to put on a podcast every day. And I'm getting used to it now. I mean, I like doing it when I'm out running, but I've never been one to wear earphones on a run. So I'm starting to, and you know, I'm, now that my my youngest is one, I feel like I have more time to do that stuff. And I'm learning now to put it on when I'm cleaning at home.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I do it when I'm cleaning or like folding laundry or even driving in the car. I put my phone on speakerphone and listen. And my kids are kind of just like used to that being on and they kind of ignore it. But
I think I was listening to one of your podcasts with my son Everett and Greer. So Everett is three.
Okay.
And Greer is one. And then we have our oldest Ruby, who is six. But we were in the car and Everett was just zoned out listening to running stuff because it's just so much about, you know, that's so much of our lives.
Yeah.
And we just love listening to you.
Yeah.
Fun. How old are your kids again, Lindsay?
Okay. So, well, my 3 year old, he's now 4 and a half. So 4 and a half, 2. And then I have a 3 month old.
Oh my goodness.
So I'm in the thick of it.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank
you. You are.
Yeah. So is your youngest a girl or boy?
A boy.
Okay, Greer.
Boy.
I wasn't sure because that was a name that I feel
it
like
can go either way.
So you're your girl, boy, boy.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And,
so, and I think we're done. I'm not quite sure, I think. But I just turned 40, so I'm getting old.
Well, I always say, people always say, I feel like when you get to three, they're like, are you done? And I'm like, well, my kid is 3 months old, so I have no idea. Let's revisit this when he's like 1 and a half, you know?
Oh, yeah. You have plenty of time to have another one, that's for sure.
Totally. Real quick, I want to thank Prep Dish for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Prep Dish is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. You guys want to save time? I know you do. Head over to PrepDish.com/another use promo code ANOTHER, all caps, to try it out for 2 weeks free. It's 2017. Let's be efficient with our time here, people. PrepDish.com/ANOTHER, promo code ANOTHER, all caps. Thank PrepDish for sponsoring this episode of I'll Have Another Podcast. So you just turned 40.
I did.
Yes. I read your blog post about that and about the things you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Those are kind of quick things, but they all sound exciting for me.
So I want to talk about that, though, because one of your things is you want to run a sub-3 marathon.
I do. Okay. I ran one marathon when Everett was 4 months old.
Okay. He was only 4 months old.
4 months old. So okay. I always take a month off after each pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
And so no running for a month. And then I don't know about you, but that's how
I'm hardcore full 6 weeks.
Good for you. I love it.
I love the excuse to chill.
Yes, I do too. And get to know your baby and just make sure you're healthy. And but then so I started back and I ran 3:02 with him. And I was on pace, though, to run 2:50. I just did everything wrong. But it's so good because now when I go and speak, everyone thinks, even the fast athletes or once fast athletes, blow up too. And I thought I was seeing Jesus.
Oh, man, that's so young.
Yeah, he was young. But it actually was really fun, and I loved it. I didn't do much except I slowly built up my long run.
Uh-huh. But so how old were you then when you did the 3:02 and he was 4 months old?
I was 37, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, 4 months postpartum is so soon that, obviously you can run, and you can obviously run a sub-3.
Well, I hope so, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, and then you want to do sub-1, 20.5?
That one is a little bit more, really, is that going to happen? But that's one of those goals that I think would be really fun. I mean,
which one's I've run more aggressive for you, do you think?
The sub-120, for sure, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that if I can run a sub-120, then I better get back out there and run a marathon real fast, because then I should be able to break 3 hours.
Oh, you should. You could run. Well, if you run sub-120, you could probably run a 2:50 for sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's about the shape, right?
It's going to take some, buckling down a little bit, and I need my 1-year-old to sleep through the night. He still likes to eat through the night.
Oh, are you still breastfeeding?
I'm on day 2 where I haven't pumped.
Oh.
So I'm getting there where hopefully I'm done. I don't know. We'll see the rest of the week. I'm hoping I don't have to.
Yeah. What time does he normally get up and eat?
He will get up at 10:30 at night before we all go to bed. And then he does again 1:30 and then a 3:30 and then sometimes 5:30.
Shut up.
But I've been starting to just give him plain water. And so I think it's just the, he just wants that soothing effect. So
yes.
I just need to let him cry it out, but I am so tired that I don't want to do it.
I know. Because if you comfort him, will he go back down?
Yeah, he will, but it takes a good 5-10 minutes, and I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, and then, so does he go to bed at 7, and then he's...
Pretty much 7:30 or 8, and then he gets up again at 10:30. But we live in a kind of small house, and all 3 of our kids right now are in the same room.
Really?
I know. Yes, because our oldest doesn't want to move upstairs, which is really cute upstairs. But so we just have a lot going on. A lot of times 5 of us end up in the king size bed. No joke.
Yeah. Well, my oldest, this is our sleeping arrangement right now. And I always told myself my kids would never be in my bed. But literally right now I'm sleeping in our king size bed with our 4-year-old. He goes to bed he doesn't even start in his room.
I love it.
My husband usually falls asleep on the couch and then he moves upstairs and sleeps with the baby who's 3 months old in the baby's room. In Marshall's room, my oldest room. And then the 2-year-old's good. He's in his crib. He's fine. He goes to bed at 7 and doesn't get up till 8 a.m.
Oh, that's sweet.
But it's funny because normally you would think the mother would be with the baby.
Right.
But I don't breastfeed. So he's with the baby. Yeah. And so
how is the baby doing?
He's fine. I have some donated breast milk, but my husband does the night shift.
That's good.
Good for you. Well, I'm spoiled.
You're pretty lucky.
Yeah, I'm spoiled rotten. When you're sitting here telling me that your 1-year-old's up that much, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel guilty.
Yes, but you're with them all day. I mean, if that's your job to be a full-time mommy, huge job. I mean, I am fortunate that I have my children go to daycare because I travel so much.
Yeah.
And I miss them like crazy when I have light weeks, but you know, if I need to catch back up, I can take a nap. You don't get that opportunity very often with three babies at home.
No. And I'm not a good napper. So are they like, your oldest would be in school though, right?
Yep. So Ruby's in first grade.
Okay. And then yep.
Everett, he's a May 30th birthday. So okay. He doesn't turn four until May 30th. So he probably will be out of school until,
two more years. He'll go when he's six.
Yeah.
So my son's a June birthday, and we're going to send him when he's older. So yep. He's in daycare with the younger one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So then how many hours a week do you work?
That's a good question. You know, I'd say if I'm typically gone on a weekend. So, you know, I'll leave on a Thursday or Friday and then I get back Sunday.
Okay.
And then I usually film Mondays with See Tally Run. Mm. And then I might do something little, like yesterday I was gone. I drove an hour and spoke to a high school and a junior high. And so that was a full day. Or I might film a different commercial or ad with someone else that I'm working with. Like I do Minnesota Grown stuff, so I'm their spokesperson. I do some stuff with Lifetime Fitness. So, you know, I have a piecemeal type job, but I'd say I probably work, I don't know, maybe 30 hours a week if I'm not traveling. Yeah. And maybe that's even more than I actually do. But, you know, then I'm home and I'm trying to do the regular stuff that people do. I pay all our bills. I do all of our, you know, little things that we do. I try to let Charlie be home with the kids when he's home because he works a ton. And
what does he do? Gone,
he's an architect.
Oh, okay. So when you're gone over the weekend, he's like...
He's full on daddy.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's awesome at it. You know, he's a really good dad. And we kind of knew that going in, that it was just going to, you know, if I wanted to keep up with this running world, I was going to be traveling, and he was all for it. So
do you feel like you get refreshed and like recharged when you travel?
I love having a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
I love that. But a lot of times, so like for instance, I did the USATF cross country last week, and, you know, the whole week you're preparing for it because there's 100 athletes in the men's and women's open races. There's 70 in the juniors, and you got to kind of know a little bit about everyone. Mm. So that is a full week's prep, if not more, for just those four races that we covered. And so it's a lot, but it's really fun, and I'm so thankful for it, and I hope I can continue to get these gigs and be a female voice in a world that there's not a lot of females in.
What's your favorite part? Like, what's your favorite kind of event to cover?
Yeah, you know, I love doing the high school events. I love doing Foot Locker cross country. It's all with runners, but also just to get that real excitement from young athletes and to hear them talk to me about my journey is pretty neat. I love going out to New York Roadrunners or to the local Twin Cities Marathon, Grandma's Marathon. I love that too because I learn so much from the athletes that are trying to compete, whether they're running a 5-hour marathon or a 3-hour marathon. It's still so fun to hear their schedule and how they live their lives to be able to fit running in. Mm. That's been one of my favorite things. But also being able to interview some of the world's best athletes, I think that's pretty sweet as well. And, you know, you just get fired up from any age. You just get excited because everyone's so goal-oriented in this sport, whether you are a guy that just gets out on the weekends or you're someone that's running 2-3 times a day sometimes. So it's a fun world to work in.
Who are like a couple of the most exciting people you've ever interviewed, or just kind of like the most charismatic or, you know, whatever?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I just interviewed Emma Colburn. I loved interviewing her.
Really?
She was, I mean, you know, just like you, I don't really know you, but I feel like we're friends
because
we can have a fun conversation. Same with Emma. I mean, she's just like, I know her and I've, you know, chatted with her numerous times, but having that conversation with her was so fun. She's just so sweet. Usain Bolt was fun.
Oh,
he's just a goofball. And, you know, he's just this huge man, which I never knew you see him on TV and he looks big against some of those guys. But when he's in person right next to you, I mean, he was a giant.
How tall is he?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how tall. He's probably at least 6'5".
Really?
I'm assuming. Yeah.
It's crazy
we'll
that someone
Google
that tall can run that fast.
That fast. And his legs are really long. I mean, it's not even like, not to say he's not proportionate, but he's got really long legs.
Yeah.
So really fun to see him. You know, I think some of the best athletes have been athletes that I would not have any results from, you know, like just meeting that person that is getting out for their 20th marathon and, mm-hmm. you know, all of those fun things. But Tatiana McFadden is another really fun person to get to know. What a story she has and what she's doing for female athletics is pretty neat. So lots of different characters that I've met, but all really fun to interview.
Yeah. What's your next gig? Like, what's your next event you're doing?
The next event I'll be doing is probably the United Airlines NYC half. So the New York City half is in March. That's the one that I have in my schedule. But with TV, it's like they can call you up one day and say, can we have you that weekend? So it's pretty, they turn you around pretty fast. And they go from gig to gig. So Millrose is coming up. So I'm not doing Millrose, but the following weekend they might have something and they'll be asking me to get on a flight for that.
They'll just call you last minute.
Yep.
You're kind of used to it by now.
I'm kind of used to it. And I haven't had to say no very often. Even last year doing the Olympic trials, they had asked me to do it, but I was running late having Greer. So I ended up doing the Olympic trials when Greer was 11 days old.
11 days old. So I'm assuming you obviously took him with you.
Nope.
I didn't.
No,
so
I left him
like
home.
Crazy.
I pumped. I was like probably F's. I was just getting it all in and I was very uncomfortable, but I had a blast. And
how long were you gone for?
I was gone for about like, I think like 36 hours or something like that.
Was that stressful for your husband?
Yeah. My mom came over and helped him.
I mean,
but it was stressful because it's a brand new baby.
Did it make you nervous at all leaving him so young?
I wasn't so nervous leaving him so much because I knew he'd be in good hands and I had been able to pump, so I knew we had enough of that. I was nervous for me, to be honest, because I had been through a really bad miscarriage right in between Everett and Greer. And I actually had a code blue called on me. I was hemorrhaging really bad. Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't told many people that. I'm kind of opening up, but that's okay.
If you want me to edit it out, I can.
Nope, it's fine. You know, people need to hear that this happens to all of us.
Yeah. How even far as healthy were you?
I wasn't that far. I was almost 12 weeks.
Okay, that's pretty far, though.
It's pretty far, but I mean, it wasn't 17 or 18 weeks, but it was bad. And I was more concerned with myself getting on an airplane, still having after effects of having a baby, and making sure that I didn't have something like that happen again, which, not to say it would have, but I think I was more nervous about that because I have three babies at home now.
Right.
So mama needs to get home.
Yeah.
I can't be having code blues called on me.
No.
You know? So, but I'm healthy, and obviously we had Greer again, so everything worked out. But that was the main concern, I think, for me was, you know, I still looked like I had just had a baby, and I wanted to make sure flying was okay and all of that. So,
yeah.
But we made it through, and it was really fun. I was a little foggy, so might not have had my best. I might not have done my best, but
you think back to those times and you're like, I don't even know what I was thinking. Like, I don't know what I was thinking, let alone saying, but
exactly.
I'm sure you're fine.
Well, I hope so. I hope NBC asks me back again.
Well, and it's funny too. Once you have your third, I feel like all they really do when they're that small is sleep. I mean, yeah, they're up a lot at night, but like they're up and then they sleep and then they literally sleep all day.
They
get up for like 30 minutes and they're back to sleep.
Yeah.
When it's first, it doesn't feel like that, you know?
Right.
But then you have
with
three.
The third, you're like, whatever.
You're
right?
Like, did my first one really sleep this much? And if they did, why was I like, why did I think I was so busy?
I know. You know, it's so fun though to have all these extra bodies, but there are moments where you learn a lot about yourself.
Oh man, it's tough. I mean, I think three is a game changer. I always said like maybe going from one to two was harder just because you had to figure out how do I get them both in the car and you know, all that silly stuff, but it's just loud all the time now.
Oh, it is so loud. I'm loud. So my poor husband is not.
Oh, is he a quiet guy?
He's kind of a quiet guy. And I think, oh, man, that poor guy.
Now, how long have you guys been married?
Charlie and I got married in 2003.
Okay.
So you're coming up on 14 years in April.
Okay. Did you do anything fun for your tenure?
You know, we didn't because I think we had just, was that when we were going to have Greer or Everett? Mm. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So we were home kind of because April I was going to have him in May.
Okay.
But, you know, we do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah.
Charlie and I do a lot of fun stuff where we do more as a family, but we're lucky that, you know, when I travel, he travels with us a lot and with the kids. And so, you know, we try to do those fun things. And I think now that if we are done having babies, we'll do a little bit more, just the two of us, I think. But
I feel like you're going to have another one.
I don't know. It's scary to think, but we'll see.
How did you guys meet?
So Charlie and I knew each other in high school.
Okay.
But we went away. He went to school. He's 2 years older than me. And I went to Villanova. And 7 years later, after the Olympic trials in 2000, I was running across one of our most beautiful bridges in Minnesota. And he was walking home from his firm. And I just ran into him. I mean, literally, like, that's Charlie Peterson. And I said to him, are you married? That was the first thing that came out of my mouth. And he's pretty cool, calm, collected guy. And he's like, no. And the rest is history. It took him 3 weeks to email me. He really played that cool, calm, collected guy. So I was kind of nervous about it. But, ended up moving back home. And that's really when it started to take off.
So you run into him on the run and you're like, are you married? No. Yeah. Well, here's my email in case you want to marry me.
Exactly. Yes. And also, I think like when we got home that day, my sister said, Carrie, I think you just found your soulmate. Like she really had a funny feeling about it. And I did. I did too. I was like, I loved that guy in high school. I just thought he was just such a nice guy. So good looking. All this fun
friends?
Stuff. Yeah, kind of. I held his hand in 1993.
Oh my gosh.
But I think I might've had a boyfriend, so I probably shouldn't say too loud, but that's okay. I held his hand.
Oh my gosh.
Then, you know, many years later, we ended up getting married.
So then how old were you when you were on the bridge, when you met on the bridge?
So 2000, I would have been, 23.
Okay. And is he the same? Oh, he's 2 grades ahead of you. That's
he's 25. Yeah.
That is hysterical. Yeah. I think this is one of my new favorite questions to ask people is like, how did you meet your significant other? Because that is such a cute story.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was, and he's an intellectual guy. So he wrote this wonderful letter for our wedding, and he called it the chance encounter. And it just, it was so fun to hear his kind of like idea and memory of how it all happened. And of course it was, you know, me being silly and kind of have diarrhea in the mouth, sort of.
I love that. Does he run?
He does. He is the guy that right now is just gets home from work and wants to be dad. Mm-hmm. So he really needs to get something on the calendar. But he's a 3-time Ironman.
Oh, wow.
And he's run probably 20, 25 marathons.
Oh, he runs. Okay.
Yeah. He played college football for a Division III school here, Hamline University, and before he went and specialized in design and architecture. But, yeah, he's an active guy. Loves to play anything. Basketball, he climbs, he skis, he does it all. So it's fun to be around him.
So which Ironmans has he done?
He's done all 3 in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, my husband did that one.
Really?
He did it in, I wonder if they did it the same year. He did it in 2012.
So he did it, I bet he did because I told him the day before he left that I was pregnant with Everett. And he was born in 2013. So, yeah, they were there together.
Oh, that's hysterical. Well, when he did that, our first son was 10 weeks old. And I know. Well, and it's funny. Well, like telling someone like you this, like you guys do crazy stuff all the time. So that doesn't sound like that crazy to you. But the average person is like, your husband did an Ironman when your kid was 10 weeks old.
Oh, totally.
But he started training for it. And we had kind of had issues like getting pregnant. So we're like, well, we're not going to like put our life on hold. So, you know, you have to sign up for those like way in advance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so he signed up and he, you know, I was like, well, just train for it. And then after Marshall was born, he was kind of like, I don't, you know, because you got to go ride your bike for 6 hours on a Saturday. And it's very time consuming. He's like, well, I don't have to do it. I'm like, no, we paid the $600 or whatever it was. Like, you're doing it.
Yeah.
And so I love looking back though with the pictures of me like toting Marshall around and the, like the baby carrier. And I always say at the end of that day, man, I was so tired. Have you spectated them?
Yes.
It's exhausting. And I remember I just like breastfeeding him like on the course and,
right.
He finished the race and, we had to go get our car and we had a bike Oh, we had his bike, obviously, because he did the race. Uh-huh. And he rode his bike to go get the car after doing the Ironman, like 3 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, of course, like, I'm sending you. You just did an Ironman. I'm sending you to go get the car. But anyway.
I still think your body was still probably.
Totally.
You probably had gone through more than he had in the Ironman.
That's a long day.
Well, and I got caught on our video camera saying, oh, my legs. Because I had been walking around, this is our first one, and so we were watching it back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was complaining about my legs while he was out there for, you know, 12 hours or whatever it was.
You know, it's fun, though, that race, you go out to the, whatever that middle area, that area is when you can watch them loop on the bike course, and you can kind of, like, hang out and get something to eat and chill for a little bit, because you see them twice there, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the marathon course is great, because you can spectate. So
It is a nice, and it's not far for us. How far is Madison for you guys?
Oh, it's a drive. I mean, it's like maybe 6 or 7 hours.
That's about it for us too. About 6 hours, I think. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it maybe it's 4.5. It might be 4.5 and then 6 to Chicago.
Man, Minnesota runners. I always say this. They're like the toughest runners.
We have a lot of good athletes that come out of Minnesota. That's for sure. And I do think it has to do with the elements that we run through and, you know, it's a competitive state. It always has been and always has good athletes that, you know, go on and do good things. So you sort of are the one trying to chase the, you know, the Gabe Grunewalds, the Heather Dornadins or now Camps, you know, there's always somebody that you can try to chase and they're not too much older than you are. So it's neat that way.
Are you there for life? Like you guys, that's where you're going to be?
I mean, I'd love to say that we are here for life, and I think we are. But there are times, like right now, it's 1 degree. I'm like, come on, do we have to do this?
I know.
But I love Minnesota, and I bleed Minnesota. So, yes, I think we are here for life.
Well, your accent is super strong.
I know, and I can't lose it, but that's okay. I always think that on TV, people will kind of make fun of me or they'll say something, which is fine. I can handle it. But I always think, you know, this is such an awesome melting pot that we live in.
Yeah.
Why do they care if I say my O's long?
Yeah. And that's kind of like, I feel like it's a signature thing for you.
Yeah.
It's you.
I mean, dare to be different. Yeah. Embrace it.
Does your husband have a super thick accent too?
No. It's me. It's
just you.
All me. Yeah.
And your family?
And my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think anytime I talk to my mom, it comes out a lot worse.
Yeah. Is it kind of Canadian?
Well, I lived with Carmen Duma Hassar, who's also an Olympian.
Okay.
In the 1500 meters from 2004. So I lived with her for 4 years.
Really?
So, yeah. So I do think that she is one, and I talk to her all the time. So I do think she is also one to blame.
Oh, totally.
She has a Dutch-Canadian accent, so.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of everything. Norwegian, Dutch, Canadian, American, whatever.
That's hilarious. So also on your list for now that you're 40, in this decade you want to do a triathlon?
I'd like to do a triathlon, I'm a little bit, never done one, a little terrified of the road bike.
Mm.
You know, I've been in clips a few times, but I think once I really get, you know, into it, I'm going to probably want to go try and go pretty fast, and I'm scared I'm going to have a bad wipeout, but it is what it is.
Man, I got to say, with triathlon, that's what makes me the most nervous is, like, not falling off my bike, like, whatever, I can handle if I fall off my bike, but, like, it's just dangerous, like, road biking.
I know.
I mean,
we live in a really good spot. I don't know how India is for biking, but we have some really good areas to train around here, so I'm lucky that way.
I think just getting hit by a car is what scares me.
Yeah.
Because you hear it happening, and you know, like, there's a girl here that I knew really well, and she got hit by a car on her bike and died, and it's like, it's so crazy. And
I know.
And when you're doing an Ironman, like, I know we're just talking about a triathlon, but, like, if you're truly training for, like, an Ironman, like, you really got to get out on the road and, you know.
Spend a lot of time out there. Uh-huh.
I do think, though, riding in groups makes it a lot safer and less scary.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do anything long. I think I'll do something just short and fun. And I'm not one to really swim, but I can swim. So, you know, it would be fun to try it.
Yeah, and it's good because it switches up your routine, too. It's more fun to do other things. What else do you have on there? Do more yoga?
Yes, I need to. I'm so not.
What's great about basketball? I'm not flexible.
Oh, it's like a 40-plus age group. So, like, I think we have a couple of them here in Minnesota, but part of me wants to get back out there, and I'm very terrified of tearing my ACL as well. So I'm like, I don't know if I could do that, you know, side to side movement anymore. But I played basketball growing up, and loved it. Yeah.
Really?
So
when did you transition from basketball to like I'm actually a really good runner, and I need to focus on this?
Well, you know, when I went to college, I ran indoors instead of playing basketball, obviously. But my first coach, John Marshall, let me play in the summers. I played basketball my freshman and sophomore year. That was part of he knew I'd be on the court. So I played up until I started really getting ready to win NCAAs, and that was my junior year when I won. I mean, I wanted to win all along, but I think we really saw that I had the talent to win, and I think that was when I stopped doing that extracurricular where I could get hurt.
Right, you could tear your ACL playing basketball.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, isn't Carrie so fun to talk to? Before we continue my conversation with Carrie, I want to thank Now Foods for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Now Foods has been a leader in the natural products industry since 1968. And did you know you can get food, sports supplements, personal care items, even stuff for your dog? So when it's time to purchase your multivitamins or any kind of supplements like that, head over to now-2-u.com to check them out. I believe in their product. I trust their products. I've been to their facility personally, so I know everything is handled with care. Any kind of vitamin or supplement you could ever imagine or think of, you're going to be able to find at Now Foods. So you guys can just go to now-2-u.com and promo code ANOTHER, all caps, to save 25% off your next order. Know what you think. Let me know what you order. Thank you so much, Now Foods, for sponsoring this episode of I'll Have Another podcast. So let's get to some fun stuff.
Okay.
All my random end of the conversation questions.
Yes.
What is the best advice you've ever been given?
Don't think, just run. Yeah, I think that's been the best piece of advice I've been ever have been given before races.
Now, who told you that?
Well, my college coaches, Gina Procaccio, told me that a lot from Villanova. You know, just turn your mind off and have your race strategy. But I should, you know, when you get to the line, you should have run that race so many times before you've actually run it that you shouldn't have to think. You should just let the motions take over. And usually when I did that, my races went better. And there were times where it didn't go, you know, as planned, but I still could just be in the moment and not think about what was hurting or, you know, how everyone else was feeling. Just focus on getting through each lap and getting the finish line.
I always like to ask people who have ran and run at the professional level, like, when you're towing the line, are you thinking about the girls next to you, or, you know, are you just kind of?
I think most people would say that they were thinking or they are thinking about who is right next to them. I always did, but I also always told people to try to have blurry faces of the competitors in your race, which is hard to do, but you know, when you're out there, you have no control over anyone else. So I tried hard not to. But, yeah, you look down the line and you know where your competitors are. And you know where the ones with the wheels or the fast, you know, last 200 meters are. And you know the ones that will push the pace. And, yeah, I think it's just natural to know that.
Do you talk about, like, the mental aspect of racing and training when you go speak at high schools and middle schools?
Yes, very much so. I think, you know, when you're young, you sort of forget about how powerful the mind is. And as you get older, you really realize how powerful it is. So I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about sleep and how crucial that is. You know, that people don't really realize how, when you're younger, just getting on that schedule of, you know, I'm a 10:30 to 7:30 girl when I was training, and I still would love to do that. I don't get it anymore. But
wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah. But my body just knows when it's 10:30, and, you know, I'm up normally now 5:30 or 6 pretty much, not necessarily out of bed, but up around then. But I think when I was really training hard, my body knew when to go to bed and it knew when to get up. And I think if you're starting that young, you will see some really good results because of it.
Yeah. What, if you could have coffee or a cocktail with anybody, who would it be?
Oh my goodness. That is a good question. I saw that when you emailed that and I had to think about it, but you know, I think I would love to go back, and this sounds maybe not so much a runner, but I'd like to have, I don't like to have coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker and I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life.
Really?
But I'm the first person on the dance floor and the last one to get off. So just so you know, I'm a good time.
Tell me about the alcohol thing, though. What's the purpose?
I never did it in high school because I was always afraid that I'd be the one to get caught and not be able to play or run. And then when I went to college, I just was surrounded with athletes that didn't really want to do that, you know, or if they did, it was at the right time of the year. And we always had fun dancing, but we had a long run the next day or whatever. So I just wanted to have fun doing that. So I guess if I were to pick something, I'd love to have a chocolate milkshake with my Grandpa Slendy again.
Oh, I love that.
And just because he never saw me run. And he just was such a positive guy and so much fun. He actually passed on my birthday. He was really sick, had cancer. And just all of these things, I just think of like, oh, how fun would it be to catch up with him? And but if I had to pick an athlete, you know, there's so many of them. But I think I'd love to just sit down. And I've always been a huge fan of Shalane Flanagan's. And she's a good friend of mine, I'd like to say. But I'd really like to just have time with her, whether when it's not just on a run or if we're at a meet where we're talking quick. But Shalane Flanagan is someone that I think we're always going to know about, whether we are just starting the sport now or we are older. I mean, she's someone that goes so deep into the well in every race and never really talks too much about it. She lets her wheels do the talking. And I really, really respect her career. And I think she's just a phenomenal woman.
Yeah. I had her on the podcast. The only reason I got her on is because she was there on their book tour. I know that's why. but
I don't know. She would go back on. She's so sweet.
Yeah. And Elise came on too. And, so I talked to them a lot about their book, but I was like, I have to get some like good marathon questions in. Cause I'm like, I know that all of my listeners are like dying to hear about like what's going through Shalane Flanagan's mind when she's running the Boston Marathon, trying to literally trying to win the race, you know?
Right. I know. She's just brilliant. I mean, the way that she has shown all of us with her race strategy, and you know, it doesn't always go the way she wants it, but she, when she has a goal in mind, I mean, very, very oftentimes do we see that goal achieved, and it's really nice to see an athlete kind of practice what they preach.
Well, and what I love so much, and she talked about this a little bit, was that she, like, she's not scared to put a big goal out there. Yep. And even if she doesn't make that exact goal, like she said, I think it was 2014, like, I want to win the Boston Marathon. Like, that's what I'm trying to do here. And it's like, you don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed because you didn't do it just because you said that was your goal.
Yep. And then you see afterwards, if she doesn't, she's logical about it. Mm-hmm. She's not trying to cut corners about why it didn't happen.
Right.
And sometimes I think she's tough on herself. Like, it's okay for her to be, you know, sad. And she's showing us that she's maybe a little bit more vulnerable in her older years of running. But I just think she just is a class act of an athlete. You know, she just really puts it out there. And someone that I've heard that she'd like to coach maybe in the future. I don't know if she really will. But if somebody were to have her as a coach, man, they'd be so lucky.
Well, what is that you see a lot more males coaching than females? What's up with that?
Well, you know, when I thought about coaching, I remember talking to a few of my, you know, role models as coaches, and Gina Procaccio is one of them, and she absolutely lives and breathes her job at Villanova, loves it. She doesn't have children, and she says, you know, it'd be really hard for someone to have, for a mom to do this. Not that it's not hard for a dad, but, you know, she just said, you know, it'd be really hard. And also Gary Wilson, who's at the University of Minnesota, he told me one time, if you want to be gone 127 or 178 or whatever the number was, nights a year, then coach and be okay with that. He loved his job, but he probably knew me better to know that I'm a homebody and I don't necessarily want to be gone 178 days of the year.
Yeah, you have to like truck your kids along with you and have like a tutor or something, and they'd have to be homeschooled and live in an RV or I don't know.
Yeah. If only coaches were paid, you know, millions like the, you know, rock stars are to have a tour bus, that'd be great. Wish they could.
You could just bring the whole family. I mean, you'd have to make enough to literally have someone hired to like homeschool your kids because you'd be working.
Yep. But I'm so thankful we have female coaches out there because It's very much needed, and I loved my male coaches. Marcus O'Sullivan is one of my favorite men of all time. I mean, he's just a great guy, and he's still at Villanova coaching, and, you know, you need those guys too, but I love having a female coach as well.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, somebody had asked me that question, like, when I was kind of researching to, when I interviewed the girls for this week, the young girls, mm-hmm. about women coaching, like, why aren't we seeing more women in coaching and how do we change that?
Yeah.
You have to think about that because really, like, yeah, it's fine for your role models to be males, but, like, mm-hmm. how cool would it be to get that relationship with a female role model, you know, as a exactly. young, as a young girl?
Yeah.
I think that that is so crucial. For me, when I was looking at Villanova, Gina Procaccio was coaching, and she was competing. She mm-hmm. had just won USA Nationals, I believe, in 1994, I think it was, the year before I went there. And, you know, I went there partly because she was going to be my coach. She was someone that lived and breathed what I wanted to do. I didn't necessarily know I was going to be a professional athlete, but she was somebody that knew how to run really fast like I wanted to. So yeah, I mean, we need those role models out there, and we need, not necessarily do they have to be world-class athletes, but that helps.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. Do you, have you ever thought about writing a book?
I have thought about it, and you know, it might happen, but I don't know if, I mean, I think my life is interesting, but I don't know if it's that interesting where people would buy it.
Well, if you had the right ideas to talk about, you know,
yes.
and you have like the whole mom thing going on now too, and juggling yeah. your career and all that. I just wondered that because I feel like on the path that you're on with all that you do with the video and now the podcast mm-hmm. and you're traveling and all that stuff, I'm like, she could totally write a book.
Yeah, I've thought about it and we'll see. I mean, it's, there's always, you know, steps to go up and to go to. And I think that for me, I'm always trying to make sure I'm passionate about what I'm doing and not just floating like I've talked about in the past. And mm-hmm. so that's one thing that's on, it's not on my list, but it's in my mind.
Okay. I like that. What's the best, most recent book you've read? Speaking of books.
Now, yes, that was a question where I was like, okay, do I need to read a book real quick? Because I am not reading very much. My coach, my current coach, or my professional coach, I don't have a coach right now, but Dennis is always going to be my coach. Dennis Barker has a new book out.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's not even so new. It came out last fall. It's called The River Road, and I have not been able to get through it, and I'm so sad about it because I need to bring it with me on every trip because I just don't get books read. I don't know mm-hmm. about you. Are you, do you get books read while you're having all these babies?
I go through spurts. Like if I can put my phone down and not look at Instagram, I'll yeah. read a lot more. I actually will read on the treadmill, which is kind of weird.
Interesting.
Put my Kindle
run and read.
Yeah. If I'm not running fast, I'm doing like 9 minute miles or something. And I like just put the font on really large and it makes it go by really fast. The problem though now is that I listen to podcasts too, and I can't really listen to podcasts and read. So
yeah,
you know, I got to pick, but, I know.
I would definitely recommend Dennis's book. It seems like it's,
what's it about?
Doing really well. You know, it's just a story. Mm. It's a story about a runner. And for me, I think that Dennis is just such a, he was so fun to train with. And he also just worked your mind in such a great way that, it's a really good book, and it's just my fault for not taking the time to really sit down and do it. And he's like, I get it, Carrie, but, you know, I would say if anyone could read a book, they should check that one out. For me, reading right now doesn't happen, more so because if I am reading, I'm doing research.
Totally. Yeah.
So if I can, I'm doing the track Bible, if that's what you want to say, not necessarily track and field news, which they used to call the Bible. but I am reading a lot of stats and, interviews from different people and just trying to keep up with the sport that much.
Yeah.
That way.
Well, this podcasting thing is going to come so naturally to you then, because you're used to researching like who you're going to be talking yeah. to and whatnot. And you kind of know like what to look for.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that part of it. It's fun trying to find out all of their accomplishments, but uh-huh. man, it's hard to keep them separate. And to remember them when you have someone in your ear saying, okay, wrap it, let's go on, we're going to move to this. I mean, people think TV is pretty easy, but until they have someone.
And then you have to like hurry the person you're interviewing up without yep. rushing them because you want them to say good stuff. And,
exactly.
Oh,
yeah, it's crazy. It's yeah. fun though.
What about shows? Do you guys watch any shows?
You know, we do watch a little bit, you know, at like 8 or 9 o'clock at night when we come down and we're not doing something at night. We like This Is Us.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
that show.
Totally.
Have you ever seen Outdaughtered?
No.
Oh, it's so cute. And I basically watch it. you know, after it's been aired, but it's about a couple that has a 5 or 6 year old daughter, and then they had quintuplet daughters.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And they're like one now.
Oh my gosh.
But it's really cute. And actually Charlie will watch it.
Is it on what's it on?
It's on TLC, I think. Yeah. TLC.
Okay. I'd probably have to watch it on Hulu.
Yeah. So we watch This Is Us, we try to watch. I love The Bachelor, if I can sneak it in. Or
do you?
I'm terrible.
Tell me what you think about this season, because I just caught up yesterday. I watched, I like passively watched during nap time when I was trying to do podcast stuff.
And see, this is how much. I watch it, but I don't even know a lot of the girls' names. Yeah. So there was one that he sent home. Was it Daniela or Danielle?
Yeah, I was surprised he sent her home.
That was the one I thought he was going to marry.
Really? From early on, she was one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, I'm still really bummed that he sent her home. I don't know who he's going to pick now. I can't figure it out.
She seemed pretty, well, you know, I think, is her name Vanessa, the special ed teacher?
Yes, I do like her too, but she's getting fired up.
She is getting fired up, but I feel like she's got maybe a more normal head on her shoulders than a lot of the girls.
Yeah, she does, totally. And I like that she's
Daniela,
fired up.
Too.
Me, yes, but I just don't know. I can't quite figure him out.
I don't love him. I think he's kind of a tool. Like when he was making out with Corinne in the bounce house, I was like, dude, you're 37. Like, why do you think you're on this show for the third time?
Oh my goodness. And why do we like that show? That's the question.
Well, I have to say, I really liked Ben last season.
Yes, he was cute. He was nice.
I think he seemed like a pretty normal guy. Like this guy seems like a tool, though he is one of like 11 kids, I think.
Really? And his mom and dad have been married forever?
Yes,
and
which makes me think, okay, maybe you're kind of, well, not that having 11 kids is normal.
Yeah.
But I mean, you come from like a nice family.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of like, actually, whenever I see these girls on one-on-one dates, like, what's the girl's name? Rachel, the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's 31, so I automatically give her points because I'm like, you're older.
She's got it going on.
Yes. But I'm like, you're really too good for him. Like, I feel like
I do like her. I do, and I think she's going to hold him accountable, too.
Yeah. I'm like,
she's
do
not
you
really,
really
messing
like
around
him,
either.
Though? Do you
I
really
don't know.
Want to be with him, or do you just want to win the show?
Exactly. Yeah,
you know?
that is the question. But
or do you just want to get third place so you can be the next Bachelorette?
Right? I think that's becoming the new thing, too, is just getting on the show.
Yeah, for publicity. And then you can have, like, a lot of Instagram followers so you can be, like, a brand representer or influencer or whatever.
I know. Like, why wasn't it out when we were – I mean, I don't even think I'd go on it necessarily because I don't think I could have kissed anybody on camera.
Yeah, I'd be real uncomfortable.
Right?
Yeah.
But I do want to be an actress, so I do have to figure that out if I want to be an actress.
Do you want to be an actress? Is that, like, something, like, growing up you wanted to do? And
yeah, it was something.
I kind of have that in me, too, but I think I would be terrible. But I think it would be so cool.
I think I'd be terrible at it, too, but I did take a musical theater course in college my fifth year when I was interning, and I had to kiss a guy there, and that was very interesting.
Is it?
But
real uncomfortable?
It was just kind of like it got you got used to it, but it wasn't like a real full-on kiss. It was just kind of it was a longer peck.
Yeah. I'm trying to picture myself like hardcore making out with somebody on screen, and I'm like, that would probably be the hardest
part.
I
don't think I could do that. I don't know. I better not say that because, you know, you never know what's going to happen in life. But
yeah, what if someone picks you up? And I always think, well, I'm getting too old to do that. Like, I can't,
I know.
You know, people start acting when they're like 15 or whatever.
They did. I think now anything is possible. And that's just what I'm telling myself.
Okay, maybe you and I can go to casting call together.
There we go.
How do you even go to one of those? What do you do? You know,
I know.
Like, and I've never been educated on acting, but like, do you truly have to be educated to be good?
Right. Do you need an agent? I think you probably do.
We need to educate ourselves some more. Okay. Well, what's next for you in 2017? Anything exciting this fall or?
Well, I'm going to hopefully run a marathon again. I haven't picked it yet, so I keep running
into
the fact.
Come to Indianapolis and do the Monumental Marathon in November.
I could do that.
That's
because
a really
every
good
time
one.
I think it'd be fun to do that. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and every one that I want to do, I keep getting asked to do the commentary or do finish line announcing at, so which is nice because a girl's got to work and bring home some bacon.
That's true.
But, you know, part of me thinks, well, I'm 40, and maybe if I run fast enough, I could maybe, you know, win a little bit of money on the roads if I devoted some time.
Oh,
so we'll
totally
see.
Well, then you got to be strategic about which marathon to pick, because, like, the whatever the competition is.
I know. And I have to get serious and buckle down.
Yeah, totally. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you, and keep up with great work. You're doing
some awesome stuff. I'm excited for your podcast.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be a new adventure, but that's what it's all about.
Who are you putting out this week?
This week is Gabe Grunewald.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like I said, this is one of the first times that she really opened up, and you know, she's pretty open book anyway, but it was a nice interview, and I really appreciate her doing that.
Are you sticking to like the 30 minutes?
Yeah, 30, 35 minutes, roughly around that. You know, we went for a 5-mile run that day, and
okay,
I think we ran like 7:12 pace or something. I don't know if I'm telling people, and I might need to do that.
That's pretty fast to like carry on a conversation.
Yeah, but that's part of it. It's not that not all my guests are going to be running that fast. Right. I will run whatever they want to run. But you know, I think just naturally she got into it and we just started running. So it was fun.
That's awesome. Well, I'll let you get on with your day.
Thank you. You too. Have fun having a little moment to yourself when the kiddos are in.
I have 25 more minutes. I might go run for like 15 minutes just to like.
Okay. I'm sure you can squeeze in a good run there.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Lindsay.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Carrie, for coming on the show. And thank you, Prep Dish. Thank you, Now Foods. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters for supporting this podcast and listening every week. I really appreciate each and every one of you. You guys have a great weekend. And as always, I will see you next Friday.